I walked out the door, and I had Rex by my side, and we walked into the black of the night, and the night remained black for quite a while. But I knew where the path was, and so we started toward the path. And Rex was leading the way as though he could see perfectly, which he undoubtedly could. And I could see more or less because I knew what was there. And as we walked along, it was really strange. But the sky, which had had no stars at all, began to twinkle with a star here and a star there, and it was quite pretty to see it. But Rex didn't pay attention to the stars. He looked up and down the road to see if there was anything around or anybody around or what's going on around us. And I walked along, and then as the night began to be lighter and lighter, as it always was, I began to see the ruts in the path where the water had washed away the dirt after the recent rain day before yesterday. And I could see it because it was dark. And so I stepped to either side of it, and it was just fine to walk along. And as I walked along, I began to see other things. Rex would stop and smell an ant walking along, and he'd talk to him for a moment and wish him well and tell him to, you know, not be on the path. Rex says, "I go off the path to do my duty. You should go off the path to dig your holes, you know, not dig your holes on the path." Well, the ant didn't quite understand that because the ant went down wherever the soil was soft enough to go down. And they made their underground caverns homes down below. And but the ants were quite something. We read in the Life and Teachings of the Master of the Far East about a temple not made by hands. And in that temple not made by hands, whenever the masters would enter that temple, the temple would become illumined inside, just as though it was as bright as day inside, lovely to see. Where the light came from, it just was there. It was everywhere. So, the Master of the Far East had been studying the ants for a long time. And they realized that when the ants went into their underground cavern, it was dark. But yet for the ants, it was light as day. They knew right where they were going. They knew right what they were doing. Oh, well, that was by smell, or that was by instinct, or that was by something. I think it's because they could see. They could see where they were going. Now, the rodents who live under the ground, they have the same thing. They burrow through the dark, and they keep their eyes closed because they don't want to get dirt in their eyes. But as soon as they're done burrowing, they sit and open their eyes, and they look around themselves, and they say, "This is a nice tunnel." And they can't see a thing because it's dark, black as night in there. There's no way they could know what's going on, but they know. They know. They can see. They know every inch of the way. And it's a very beautiful tunnel that they built. And they know where it needs to be strengthened because the ceiling is kind of weak. And they know where it is strong enough, they don't have to worry about it at all. They know all these things because they have an inner awareness. Now, we say it's intuition. We say it's sort of something that's just born in their nature, instinct. But the thing, it's not. Instinct doesn't tell them when they come to a hard place, or like a rock, to go around it, or under it, or over it. They don't try to go through it. They don't waste their energy. They can see how big that rock is. And they go right around it, right close to it, right around it, totally free, totally able to get where they're going. Now, where are they going? That's a good question, too. Where are these ants going? Where are the rodents going that are digging under the ground? Do they know? They look up before they dig their hole. Let's see, I'm here. over there is where I want to go. That's due northeast, so I shall go straight northeast. And if I hit a rock, then I go around it, and I keep on going northeast. They have their inner compass going. Well, they do, but not a compass. It's an inner knowingness, because they can see. Now, or can they see underground where they're going above ground? Can they see where the place is that they want to go? Can they see it and know it when they're underground, when there's no light? They seem to get right to it, too. Mm-hmm. No fooling around. And when other rodents make a tunnel through their tunnel as they crisscross, do they get lost and go the other rodent's way, or do they stay on their own? They know where they're going. They know exactly where they're going. Now, we've been watching Hogan's Heroes, and we've been seeing that Hogan and his people are digging a series of tunnels underneath the prison camp as though they're a bunch of moles. They're digging, digging, digging. But they not only dig, they put shoring there to keep the tunnel walls up. And they have printing presses down there to print money. And they have the ink. And they have the electricity to run these printing presses. And yet they're using lamps of kerosene to light their way, not realizing that it doesn't fit. And it is really just a charming thing to do. And Hogan was saying, when they had brought in a radio transmitter, that if they were caught with this, it would mean a lot. And where should we hide it? Where should we hide it? Where should we hide it? Now, what would you have told him? What would you have told Hogan where to hide that radio transmitter?
Right in the open.
Where would you have told Hogan where to hide it? Where would you have told Hogan where to hide it?
In the tunnel.
Well, aren't you smart? In the tunnel. But hush, little lad. They didn't even think of that. They didn't even think of in the tunnel. It was sitting in a footlocker that they were sitting on, that they weren't even thinking of it going into the tunnel. And I thought, hey, if they find the tunnel, they're in trouble. So why not take whatever they have down in the tunnel where it should have been anyhow? It shouldn't have been up in their barracks, because in their barracks, that's all stuff that gets looked at constantly by the guards and stuff. But now, I knew that. But of course, I'm so superiorly intelligent that I would have told them, down in the tunnel. Why don't you put it in the tunnel? Well, you see, they are writing Hogan's Heroes so that it'll be logical and reasonable to a lot of people who listen to it, but it'll be totally illogical and unreasonable to the majority of the people who are listening to it and delighting in it. They're not expecting it to be reasonable. They're not expecting it to be logical. They're expecting it just to be fun. And they're expecting it just to be making a charade over Commander Clink, to not put him down so much, but just to sort of make a spoof on the German military machine, And it could have been American as well as German that was being spoofed, because the conditions would exist for both. But it happened to be the German machine, because that was timely at the time that the story was written. Now, how could Hogan and his heroes see underground to dig and dig a hole? Mm-hmm. How could Hogan and his heroes have candlelight or kerosene and then have it go out? And yet they knew right where they were going. Yet you and I, sitting watching the show, have beautiful lighting on them. We can see exactly what they're doing. But their candle went out, so they can't see a thing. Now, it's humorous and it's charming, but
illogical.
It's illogical. But the thing is, truly, they did dig tunnels, and they did not have candles. They dug them by knowing what they were doing, and they dug them and usually got them in perfect location where they wanted them to be. And where did they usually dig them to? Now, don't go saying to a barracks or to a building or to this. What did they usually come up out of after they dug a tunnel?
An empty tree trunk.
A what?
An empty tree trunk.
Yeah, you're outside the prison. I'm inside.
Oh. Okay.
Inside the prison. What did they come up into?
A bed.
What did they come up into? What did they come up into?
Okay. Inside a living room. Inside a hobby room.
Into what?
Hobby room.
What did they come up into?
Sleeping room.
What did they come up into? They came up into a little stove. The stove slid right away, and they came right up where that stove was. They came up where the stove was. And nobody would touch the stove because the stove was hot. And they would think that the stove couldn't be moved because it was in service. But that was just a charade. Now, they came up under the stove. Now, these people were climbing in and out of there and doing things. It's quite amazing. And then they take him over to this barracks and down to here and up to there. And you see, they were doing this basically in the dark. They didn't have spotlights, although they did have some pretty fancy flashlights. And there was electricity there, but they had to clue into it. The whole thing was a charade on the idea of moles, of gophers digging under the ground and not knowing where they're going, but getting there. You know? Interesting, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Now, why do they make Sergeant, or whatever he is, Corporal Carter, whatever his name is, you know, Carter, why do they make him into such a goofball, such a silly guy?
Actually, because he's so smart?
Because he's so brilliant.
Yeah.
He is so brilliant, the mundane things of everyday life don't disturb him, but he knows all the technical stuff. He is like Bill Gates. If they were to put Bill Gates down there in an early stage, Bill Gates could do everything, but he wouldn't know how to chit-chat with women or something like that. You know what I mean? Because it would not be his area. Now, I'm saying that we can see where there's no light. We can see where we're underground and there's absolutely no light. It's dark as can be. We can see. We can walk out into the night. And what happens after we're out in the night? Our eyes become acclimated to the darkness. And then, whereas when we first walk out, we don't see anything. We're blinded by the lights we were in. Then we begin to see the stars. My goodness, look at all the stars up there. And then this big old moon over here. It's just a sliver right now. Just a little sliver of a moon. But when it comes up over the edge of the mountain, it just illumines everything like some giant spotlight. Really amazing. And when you see it shining behind a tree as you walk around, what is that light? You know, is there someone driving here or something? It is so bright and so beautiful. But yet, it was there before, but we didn't see it. We didn't see these things because we didn't give them power. Now, we are giving them power. What is it that happens to a person when they see too much light? When they see light that's too bright?
Blinded.
They get blinded. Now, why are you blinded? Well, your rods and cones are out of adjustment. What happens when you're underground and you're in the darkness? Your rods and cones get adjusted to it. Now, some fish that live in a cave deep under the ground, which has water, you know, running, are blind fish because it is just too bothersome for them to try to see. So they developed other skills of sensitivity, of knowing when they're close to things, and so they know it. Now, if daddy fish were to say to the baby fish down there under the ground in that darkness, he'd say, "All right, kids, tonight's your first lesson in seeing in the dark." Mm-hmm. What would the kids do?
Mm-hmm.
They'd see in the dark.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever our expectation is, that's what we do.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what is your expectation? We talked about seeing in the dark at night. What's your expectation for you here, right now, where you are? You may be on an airplane, you may be on a plane that that is a boat, you may be on a car, you may be here on campus, you know, and relaxing or whatever. What's your expectation? Your expectation to be yourself and have fun. Your expectation is to be yourself. Your expectation is to be, and your expectation is you are an is. Now, as an is, what do you see? Everything. Are you aware of it? Do you care about it? No. You say to me that that wall there keeps you from looking through to see what's beyond it. And I say, that's a lie. There are windows here. See what's beyond it? There's some chairs in there and so forth. And you say, oh, yeah, that's true. But if that were a wall that I couldn't see through, then I wouldn't know what was behind it. Well, sure you would. Have you ever been behind that wall before? Sure. You know what's behind there. Unless Ingeborg's been in there moving furniture around, you know. Otherwise, you know where everything is. Now, why is it you doubted for a moment? You doubted for a moment because you didn't want to take responsibility. I have our dear friend Endless writing us an email saying, I'm going to get married now. Please send me money so I can afford the wedding, so I can afford the marriage, so I can afford this and afford that. And I wrote him back, before you think of getting married and marrying someone with money you don't have for the marriage, think, what are you going to do once you're married? How are you going to feed this wife and the little children that come along? How are you going to take care of your business? How are you going to do all this? First, it is necessary to put a good foundation and put the cause in motion, you know, that you have everything, that all is in divine order. And then you take the next step of getting married or whatever you want to do. But first, you get your balance up. You don't go marrying a girl and say, come live in my cave with me. Unless that's a preconceived concept that you want to do. But you don't say that. You say, I got a car parked out in the ditch here, and that's my home. You know, come live with me there. Oh, anything just to be with you, you know. Well, some people do that. And some people like that. But after a while, it gets old. If you've known better, it gets old. And so it is with our ability to see or not see, our ability to be abundant or not, or our ability to live in a harmonious world. It's all up to us. The money is there. The ability to see is there. The good is all there. Anything that we could want is all there, done. But what are you going to look at? The darkness? The light? Too much light, you can't see a thing? You're going to look at all these cars parked there with people in it, and nobody has any place to go or any food, and so they just lay there and die. Fascinating, isn't it? Well, you plan ahead on what your life's going to be. The father tells his son, now we're going to go in the dark, but you will see, because your eyes will accustom you. That's the term he uses. You will acclimate to the darkness and you'll see. But what about us? We already are the allness, the isness. We already are a master. Why don't you recognize that you're a master at all times? Why don't you recognize that? You don't recognize it because you don't want to take responsibility for it. Because if you take responsibility for being a master, then you've got to act like it all the time. And that's not easy to do. And the reason it's not easy to do is that you've been trained that everybody else is the master. Now, who's the master race? Well, the Germans taught themselves that they're the master race. And they're the first group of people on the face of the earth who ever said that, right?
No.
Every race that comes along thinks they're the master race. The Vikings thought they were the master race. Napoleon, de Bonaparte, and all of his Frenchmen, they thought they were the master race. And they were. They were. The master race is the race that is the lorded all over everybody else. But when they rested on their laurels, they died. when they did not continue to grow, then their gift, their ability to be master went away. When you're a master, what must you say all the time? I am master, I am master, I am master. When you are a master and you say, well, be a master, you go do that, and you go do that, you go do that. No way. You say, I am master, I see it done. Go do it. I see it done. Go do it. I see it done. Now, that you're the channel for my having it done, that's okay, but I see it done. You understand? Now, truly, you don't even have to tell somebody to do it, because if you see it done, it is done. Yes. It's very interesting when we live in the darkness, and yet we have infinite light about us. Do you realize that within you is enough atomic power to etch out a giant home in the rock mountain there and have a beautiful 50, 100, 500 rooms in there, all with outside views and sliding glass windows, and nobody can see it. And on each veranda, each patio are trees and flowers and so forth that are never need tending. They're always in perfect condition. And there's a moat going around the castle at each level, and it is called a communal swimming pool. And you just dive in there, and you float around, and you're from, hi, Ellen, hi, me. You know, and you go floating by their rooms, and they're sitting out on their terrace, maybe doing their studies. And, well, Anita, how nice to see you. Do come by again. And Anita says, next time I come by, have a bottle of wine for me. And B says, of course, I've always got it here. But you see, isn't it charming?
Yeah.
You know? And the water is constantly moving, you know, not too fast, but it's constantly moving. So you just float there, and you're in front of everybody's apartment one time or another. And then it goes right through the middle of the property, right through the middle of your home. And there you see your giant theater room, your cathedral, and other things that are in there. But, you know, what the heck? Use imagination. Be creative. Now, how are you going to see it?
It's done.
It's done. Very good. Okay, accept.
Yes, accept.
And that mountain right there. It's right now, right there. That one.
This one or this one? This one. No, this one. I didn't see the direction before.
You gotta watch where my finger is pointing.
Yeah,
you know.
Go.
Okay, it's done. Yeah, that big one right in the middle there. And I don't think you noticed. Sylvia, open your eyes.
You see it.
No. Sylvia, open your eyes. Don't you see that slide coming down from the top and making turns and going back and forth and landing right here on our terrace?
Yes.
And with running water on it. And don't you see all the little children sliding down there?
Oh.
And the adults.
Yes.
And Rex.
Yes, yes.
And hear them screaming.
Yeah, yeah, and Rex and Little Love. Little Love has a little pontoon he's sitting on. Rex is just sitting on his bottom. And they're sliding down there and just having... But then, you see, then there's a button that you press when you get down here. And that button says back. And you're back at the top again.
Lovely.
And you don't have to have any ski lift to take you up or anything else. You just press the button. And now the button, there's another button there that says another enjoyment. Some other imaginative thing. Mm. Now you say, my goodness, you have all that on campus?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that and a lot more. But unless you have arrived at your master consciousness, you cannot see it and you cannot participate in it. But if you arrived at your master consciousness, you can see it and you participate in it. And we'll talk some more about it at lunch.
Lovely.
Have a good day and know that I love you.
I love you.
I love you.